Blog Talk Radio. Thank you for tuning in to the Quitting Is Not an Option radio show. This is your host, Tamiko Stewart, in Jacksonville, Florida. We have an awesome show for you today. Get ready to be empowered. Get ready to be blessed. Get ready to be uplifted. Get ready to be motivated. Get ready to be propelled into your next level. Call a neighbor, call a friend. Tell your brother or sister to tune in. It's time for the Quitting Is Not an Option radio show. Welcome to the Quitting Is Not an Option radio show. This is your host, Dr. Tamiko Stewart, live out of the DMV area. I am so super excited to be bringing you the show live today out of the DMV area. We have an exciting show for you today. Our topic today is do not marry the wrong one. Yes, do not marry the wrong one. I'm just getting out of an awesome service today, the National Women Empowerment Healing for Your Soul event that was held at the International House of Prayer Ministries here in Silver Spring, Maryland, where the pastor is Raymond Manning. I tell you, we had such an awesome time today at the service. At the end, the glory was so heavy, the power of God was so heavy, to where all I could do was just bow on my knees because the power of God was so heavy today. And we clap our hands and we give God praise for that awesome move on today in Silver Spring, Maryland. Well, let's get to the topic at hand. Don't marry the wrong one. Well, you might say, prophets, what do you mean by don't marry the wrong one? Well, in the school of marriage, your choice is your life. Listen to me good. In the school of marriage, your choice is your life. Whatever you choose, that's your life. Whatever you choose, that becomes your life. Your partner in marriage determines your place in destiny, because your partner is like your magnet drawing you to God or drawing you to hell. We're to follow them as they follow Christ. I'm talking to my ladies right now. So your partner is like your magnet drawing you to God or drawing you to hell. Your in the school of marriage, your partner and your choice is your life. So I want to look at a person that made a choice. He fell in love with someone, and it cost him his gift. It cost him his destiny. It cost him his anointing. You know, a lot of colorful destinies have been terminated as the result of wrong partners. Let's get out the spirit for a minute. Let's get in the natural. Just naturally think about how many people's lives have been upset and problems and mayhem and chaos, all because of the partner that chose. You can, this could go for the men or the women. You have to make sure you are choosing who God told you to choose. You got to make sure, woman, that when a man steps to you, you got to have a confirmation from God. Because first again, ladies, you're not to be looking for a husband in the first place. Let me repeat that again for those that did not hear me. Ladies, you are not to be looking for a husband. We are clear what the book of Proverbs says. He that findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor from the Lord. Stop trying to take the man's place. Let the man find you. As we said on last week, get busy, ladies. Get busy doing the things of God and make yourself visible so he can find you. So we're clear, ladies, on that. What the Bible says, he stop trying to take the place of the man and let the man find you. But we want to make sure when the man finds us that it's the right man for us. We want to make sure that we have the confirmation from God. And also, men, you want to make sure that you're really hearing from God and that you're not just looking at the hips and everything else. You need to make sure you're hearing from God, because who you hook up with, it determines how far you go in your destiny. I know many that have married looking at the hips and the fingertips instead of looking at what that person can offer and help the vision go forth. But the man in the Bible that I wanted to look at was Samson. We know the story of Samson. Samson was a great and highly anointed man of God, and he fell as a result of a wrong partner. Hear me well, Radio Land. Samson fell as a result of a wrong partner. This great, highly anointed man made the wrong choice. He chose the wrong one, and he fell as a result of a wrong partner. His destiny, listen to me, Radio Land, listen to me, men and women in Radio Land, his destiny was short circuit. Yes, you can have a destiny. Yes, there's a plan of God for your life. But God give us a free will. He gives us the power to make choice. Remember in the beginning I said in the school of marriage, your choice is your life. He gave Samson the power to make a choice. And Samson's choice short-circuited his destiny. He was mocked. He was put to shame as a result of his wrong choice. Another one, I don't know if we're going to get into talking about Abigail, but Abigail was a woman of good understanding. Listen to me, ladies. And she married a foolish and wicked husband in 1 Samuel 25. And the result was the family was almost destroyed because of the conduct of the husband. So we're going to talk about Abigail next week, but today let's zero in on Samson and how his destiny was short circuit because he hooked up with the wrong one. Somebody shout, leave that honey alone. Leave that honey alone. If you have your Bibles, go with me to the book of Judges, the 16th chapter. And we see in the book of Judges, it begins talking about Samson. And it starts out with Samson going to Gaza. And there he started out on the wrong foot already. He started out running into a harlot. And he met that harlot and he went into her. And while he was busy getting his groove on, the Gazites, they were plotting and planning how they can subdue him. It says in verse 2, the Gazites were told Samson had come here, so they surrounded the place and they lay in wait for him all night at the gate of the city, and they were quiet all night long, saying, in the morning, when it is light, we will kill him. That's just how it is. You can connect with the wrong one. And while you think you're having a good time, while you're enjoying pleasure, while everything is kiki ha-ha, while they're making you feel good, while they're tickling that flesh, the enemy is laying in wait, being quiet, planning how to kill you. We know that it is the job of the enemy to steal, kill, and destroy. But why make it easy for the enemy to steal, kill, and destroy? Listen to God. Time Samson hit the city, he picked up a hooker. And while he's laid up with the hooker, they're planning, and they had surrounded the place, and they were laying wait, waiting on that key time to pounce on him. They say, in the morning when it's light, we will kill him. But Samson, he pulled a swooping swerve. He only laid until midnight with the harlot. In verse 3, and he arose and he took hold of the doors of the city and the gate and the two posts, and he pulled them apart, and he put them on his shoulders and carried them to the top of the hill. and he got out of that situation. Well, it seems like that should have been enough for Samson to kind of open his eyes. It was like God was giving him a forewarning of what was to come. But we know what happened next in verse 4. He ran into sister girl Delilah. Delilah was a bad one. He ran into Delilah. Verse 4 says, after this, he loved. He didn't just go into her. That means he didn't just have sex with her, but he fell in love with this woman, Delilah, who was in the valley of Sarek. And the lords of the Philistines, they saw his weakness. Isn't that like the devil to set and see your weakness? Ladies, if your weakness is a man, or man, if your weakness is a woman, don't you know the enemy is laying wait, watching you, studying you, observing you to see what your weakness is? And once he discovers your weakness, he's looking for the opportunity to out on you. When they discovered that he was weak for Delilah, that he had fell in love with Delilah, the lords of the Philistines came to her, and they said to her in verse 5, entice him and see in what his great strength lies, and by what means we may overpower him, that we may bind him to subdue him, and we will each give you 1,100 pieces of silver. So here this chick, she's willing to sell out the man that loved her, probably the only man that lay with her and fell in love with her. From what I'm reading, I'm kind of picking up that Delilah had been around the block. But this time, if she ran into somebody that happened to fall in love with her and hang around for a little while. And when they saw that she had him in her net, this great, anointed, powerful man of God that had made the wrong choice and it was getting ready to short-circuit his destiny, the enemy had stopped back and observed. And they offered her 1,100 pieces of silver to sell him out. How many of you have ever been sold out by the one that you love, by the one that you thought you loved, that loved you? Oh, I'm talking good. If don't nobody say amen but myself. How many have ever had your heart break? How many have ever been betrayed, let down by the one that you thought loved you because you loved them? We see here Delilah didn't love Samson. Delilah was out for herself. Delilah was out for that money. If it weren't about money, it wasn't making sense with Delilah. Delilah was on the come up. Delilah was out to get what she could get. She didn't see that she had came across a great man of God that actually loved her. All she saw was how she could profit from this situation. So they offered to pay her, and she immediately began to go to work. In verse 6, Delilah said to Samson, tell me, I pray, wherein your grace lies and with what you might be bound to subdue you. Now, I don't know about you, if someone stepped to me asking me where my source of strength is and my most secretive things and the things that caused me to be a success, I'm going to question you. But Samson was so whipped. He was so whipped up by Delilah, he didn't even catch it. He played along with her for 3 times, and he told her the wrong answer for 3 times. But he should have saw something. Where is your spirit of discernment? He should have discerned that Delilah was up to no good. But yet and still, he was so whipped up again. Tell your imaginary neighbor to leave that honey alone. That honey will get you in trouble. The honey, that sweet honey of Delilah, had Samson so whipped up that he could not foresee that his little destiny was at risk. He could not see that the enemy was plotting to stop the plans of God that God had for him. He could not that the enemy was plotting to take his strength. All he could think about was that honey. So Delilah kept asking Samson, tell me, where does your strength lie? And the scripture goes on and on that he will tell her one thing, and then she'll go and report to the Philistines what they said and tell them to come. And then she'll say, Samson, the Philistines are approaching. And every time when she thought that he was bound, Samson will break free and
you will win the battle. Isn't that just like the devil to think he got you bound down, then God raised you back up again? Samson had three opportunities, or maybe more, where just when the Philistines thought they had him bound down, just when they thought they had him figured out, just when they thought they were going to kill him. Isn't that like God, that just when your enemies think they've gotten the best of you, just when your enemies think you are down, God puts a bounce back anointing on you that causes you to bounce back and bounce forth. Well, Samson bounced back. But his decision to be with the wrong one, his decision to love the wrong one, caused him his destiny. If you flip over in that same book of Judges, around the 15th verse, Delilah was pretty fed up with Samson because Samson kept bouncing back. He couldn't open his spiritual eyes to see his decision to be with this wrong one was going to cost him everything. Have you ever made a decision to be with the wrong one and it has cost you everything, and you find yourself on the rebound trying to bounce back from being with the wrong one? That can apply to the women and that can apply to the men. In verse 15, she said unto him, how canst thou say, I love thee, when thine heart is not with me? Oh, didn't she know how to lay them words on thick? Ladies, don't we know how to lay them words on thick to the men when we want to know something or when we want to get something? We know how to make them words sweet as honey. Men, leave that honey alone. Use wisdom. Use discernment. Only if Samson would have discerned that she was up to no good. She said, how canst thou say you love me when your heart is not with me? Thou hast mocked me these three times and hast not told me wherein thy great strength lieth. And it came to pass when she pressed him daily with her words, in verse 16, and urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death. Ladies, y'all know we know how to nag a man till they finally give in and give us what we want. Delilah nagged Samson until he finally gave in and gave him what he wants. He began to pour out his heart to her. He didn't know he was pouring out his heart to the enemy. He didn't know that he had fell in love with the wrong one. He poured out his secret. He poured out his strength to this woman. And when she found out, she immediately sent and called for the Lord to the Philistines, saying, come up this once. And I know I don't led y'all on a wild goose chase. I know I don't told y'all several times. I know y'all already don't pay me and I ain't made good on my promise. But this time I think this the one. I think this it. I think I know what's up. I think I know what his strength is. So she called for him and she put him to sleep on her knees. She know what to do to get him weak. Samson should have left that honey alone, but he yet stayed there and fell in love with this woman. And she made him sleep on her knees, verse 19. And she called for a man, and she called him to shave off the seven locks of his head. And she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him, being with the wrong one. Marrying the wrong one can cost you everything. In verse 20, we see she called for the Philistines to be upon Samson, and he awoke out of his sleep, and he just said he was so confident. That's how the devil will trick you. The devil will fool you up to make you think that everything is okay and you're not doing nothing wrong, that God always been with you. I say to you, Radio Land, don't abuse grace and don't abuse mercy, because you never know when your grace account is going to be insufficient. You never know when it's going to run in the negative. But Samson arose and he awoke out of his sleep, and he said, I will go out as I did at other times and shake myself. And he was confident in his himself, and he thought that the Lord would still be with him. He didn't know that the Lord was getting ready to depart him. Some of you, the glory don't depart, and you don't even know it because you're so caught up in what you're doing. You're so caught up in feeling good. You're so caught up having what you want and not doing it God's way. And some of you don't know that the glory has already departed. So Samson said, I'll shake myself, and, you know, I'll go out as I did before. But this time, the Philistines took him, and they punched his eyes out. They took away his vision. When there's no vision, Radio Land, the people perish. He didn't perceive they would take out his eyes. They took out Samson's vision, and they brought him down to Gaza, and they bound him with the feathers and brass. And then, however, the hair on his head began to grow back, even after it was shaven. And, you know, they gathered together, and they praised their God of their God. And they were just so happy that they had finally bound Samson, and that he was in the prison house. And they made sport, and they shot Samson between two pillars. But Samson still, after all that he's been through, and even though he has failed from grace, and even though the spirit had left, and Samson said, I believe, I'll call on God one more time. Samson asked the young lad that held him. He asked him to just help him feel the pillars, and he asked him to show him how the house stood, how it was built, that he may lean upon the pillars of how the house was built. And that very house was full of men and women, and the lords of the Philistines, they were there, and they were making sport of Samson. But I love how in verse 28, Samson was getting ready to get some form of redemption. It says, and Samson called unto the Lord and said, oh, Lord, remember me. How many of you out there in the radio land need the Lord to remember you? Yes, you might have made wrong choices. Yes, you might have made wrong decisions. Yes, you might have even been married to and now divorced from the wrong one. But God is a God of redemption. God is a God of second chances. Samson called unto the Lord and said, oh, Lord God, remember me. I pray thee and strengthen me. I pray thee only this once, O God, that I may be avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. They took his vision. He couldn't see. He wanted to be avenged. And we know the end of the story, that Samson, what he did. And Samson told the Lord, let me die with the Philistines. I told you the story today about Samson, this great man of God, whose destiny and purpose was short-circuited, was stopped. I believe that the Lord would have went on to do great things in the life of Samson and used him greatly as one of the last judges in the book of Judges. But Samson had a weakness. Samson had a weakness for that honey, and that weakness that he had, it caused him to miss out on his complete full destiny. We want the fullness of what God has for us. I don't know about you, Radio Land, but I don't want a percentage of my destiny and purpose. I want 100% of what God has for me. But Samson didn't get 100% because he fell in love with Delilah. It is important, young man or old man or man of God, as you are seeking your wife, make sure you listen to God. Make sure you marry someone that's going to line up with your vision and help you carry your vision out and be that helpmate. Don't get stuck looking at the hips, the lips, and the fingertips, but you better know what's on the inside of her brain. And women, don't be like Abigail and fall for the foolish husband. We're going to talk about that next week. We're going to talk about Abigail next week, ladies. We're going to get to her. But today I wanted to talk about how he made a choice that cost him everything. Do not make a choice that costs you everything. There's consequences for every action. Don't marry the wrong one just because your flesh is up in an uproar and you want to hurry up and get married to put out that fire. Honey, after you leave out the bedroom, what's going to happen then? After the sex is over, after the thrill is gone, you need something that's going to last. You need someone that's going to help you. You need someone that can lead you. You need someone that can carry help you go into your destiny. Men, after the thrill is gone, after you don't got off, you need somebody that got some little bit of brain that can help you, somebody that can think. You need someone that can help you get to where you need to be, because us women, we're producers. Yes, you men, you sow the seed, but we women are producers. You need something that can produce more than an orgasm. You need somebody that can help you produce and get you to that next level that you're trying to be in God. And then lastly, before we end, don't let nobody prophesy you. Don't let no one prophesy you, no husband, and don't let nobody prophesy you, no wife. You better make sure that you heard from God for yourself. Because you're the one that got to live with the decision you make. While they're across the nation, somebody else, you there catching hell with that hellion who God didn't tell you to marry in the first place. So make sure that you marry the right one. Listen to God. Listen to his voice. Tune out every other voice and listen to the voice of God. A prophecy shouldn't be no more than a confirmation. It should be a confirmation of what God has already told you. So make sure, my brothers, make sure, my sisters, that you are hearing from God. And don't get caught up. Don't get bamboozled. Don't get hoodwinked. Don't get shortchanged by marrying the wrong one. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Quinnell Radio Show live out of the DMV area. We're headed to the White House on tomorrow. I'm going to pray at the gates of the White House to pray for this nation, to pray for our president and those that have rule over us, to pray for our children in the nation, to pray that we're covered and we're protected from terrorism. I'm so looking forward to it. And I will also be preaching again tomorrow. I preached today around noon, but I'll be preaching again tomorrow at the International House of Prayer Ministries at my Covenant Brothers Church, Pastor Raymond Manny in Silver Spring, Maryland. The service starts at 10 a.m. If you follow me on Facebook, the information will be posted on my Facebook page. So thank you so much for tuning in to the Quinnell Radio Show. Remember, I love you, God bless you, and that quitting is not an option. Goodbye.